Lord, we pray now that we would be blessed as we look into the Word of God. It's from your Word that we find out why we do what we do, and we pray that this tonight would give us an insight. Many have heard the story before, some may have not, but yes, yet at the same time, we rehearse what the Lord tells us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to turn about three places quickly before we have the baptism. In Matthew chapter 28, we know these wonderful stories that Scripture says, Jesus said, all power is given unto me, in verse 18. He's given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Mark said, preach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, it's one thing for God to give us instructions. It's another thing for him to give us the power to do such. Here he tells us, Jesus did, for he left. And only just a little while longer do we have instructions in the book of Acts chapter 1. If you will turn there with me, we'll look in verse again, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Some 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see the Lord fixing to go back to be with God the Father, and until he can come back for his church. In verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive power. Now, in Matthew 28, we have what is known as giving us instructions of getting the gospel out. It's the gospel that's preached, that the power of God that draws people to the Lamb of God. And as they put their faith in the Son of God, who is that Lamb, then they become children of God. And so those who have given the instruction to take this message, we don't have to go alone. I'll be honest, it'd be a sad thing if you and I didn't have more power than ourselves to go try to win someone to the Lord, because it gets discouraging real fast like. And after 51 years of trying to do this work for the Lord and witness to people, it don't get any easier. It's very discouraging in our day, because there's so many people that just don't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ in our particular day. But we still have the instruction that we're to go and tell everyone that we can and will listen about the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power. He's going to give power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. Now, the Holy Spirit came later in Acts chapter 2, and you and I get the Holy Spirit the day you and I trust Christ as Savior. So we have the power to do exactly what Jesus said do now in Matthew 28, to go into the world and preach the gospel. Our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, and all those parts of the world. We're trying to do that here from day one. We had to start out slow and just in our era. But today, I believe, we're trying the best we can. Our Jerusalem is our part of this world, of Clayton, Johnson County, you might say, even the state. Our Samaria is reaching out further, even to the nation. And, of course, when he talked about Judea and Samaria, Judea is reaching out further. Samaria is even further, and the othermost parts of the world is reaching around the world. And that's the thing, that if you look back and see how God has led, we're doing that through our mission program, some 90 missionaries, through our Ustream, anywhere in the world they can see the services, through the radio that we have and broadcasting daily, 7 days a week, sun up to sundown. We're literally trying with God's help to fulfill the Great Commission in every capacity possible to reach our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and othermost parts of the world. But I'll be honest with you, I don't see no ways the people getting saved I saw a few years ago. Now, I hear a lot of folks talking once in a while, a lot of folks getting saved. But, you know, if a person gets saved, really true to born again, unless they're hindered by a parent who doesn't see the need of a child being baptized, we have a lot of that from time to time, and parents have that right because they are the guardian of a child. But if a person who trusts Christ as Savior is not baptized, maybe a good sign when they have opportunity to be baptized and do not be baptized, maybe a good sign they're not saved. And I say that because I know what it is to join a church and not be baptized. When the baptism came, I won't say. But I'll tell you, September 27 again, the day that I got saved a few minutes after 12 o'clock on a Sunday, that day I got saved, they didn't have to come and get me to take me to be baptized. I was willing to go. You've heard me tell my story many times that the night that I was supposed to be baptized, well, the day I was supposed to be baptized, after I joined the church, I was playing baseball. And they drove all the way over where I was playing baseball to get me to go back to be baptized. And I said, I don't believe I want to. I'll just wait the next go around. Well, I never was baptized until after I got saved later. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It showed me what being saved meant and what not being saved meant. When you want to do something that God said to do. So here he tells us he gives us that power. Now, if you will, turn me to Romans chapter 6, and then we'll go into the baptism service. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 1, down through a few verses, and I'm just going to let Paul do the preaching here himself as we go through these. Notice he said, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may be abound? Before he's talking about where sin did abound, grace did much more abound in the chapter before this. Certainly, if you go back and look in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And Paul realized that there'd be some, so isn't that great? If sin abound, grace is much more abound, then grace is better than bound over sin. So no matter how much I sin, grace is going to overabound. Grace is going to supersede the sin. And Paul said, that's not what I'm talking about. He anticipated, no doubt, as the Holy Spirit led him, how people would abuse that thing about grace superseding over sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Away. Don't even think that type of thought. By the way, there's a lot of people in this world who are not saved think that way. We talk about we've been saved forever, thank God by God's grace. And then you talk about being saved and knowing for a fact your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have the assurance of it and so forth. And the next thing you have someone say, well, if I believe that, I just live like I want to. You ever heard that? Yes. Yeah, we have. We hear it all the time. They don't understand. And that's what Paul's saying here. Hey, you don't use being saved excuse to sin. Right. If you truly get saved, boy, ladies and gentlemen, the fact is you find yourself wanted to please God, and I'll tell you, you can't please God when sin in one's life. And he said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism of the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. In other words, Paul is setting forth the nearest thing that you and I come close to the death and the burial of Jesus Christ is after we trust him as Savior, then we go through the ordinance of baptism, manifested the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We die with him. We are buried in the water with him. We come in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 5 said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness, notice, in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. Notice, the old man was nailed to the cross in God's sight with Jesus. When we trusted Christ as Savior, God is saying that old nature has been nailed, crucified to the cross with Christ. What a wonderful thought to know that because of what Jesus did, God reckoned us to be there where he was at and therefore lets us go free when it comes to the condemnation of sin. And it goes on and he says, old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That is, we have a better focus. We're looking yonder on high, the portals of glory. But I'll tell you this, what's happened in our world today, we've been sidetracked that minimizes about church, about what God is doing, about what God requires us to do. And sometimes we're so far from the Lord that we are like the world more than like what God wants us to be. But he says that we are to henceforth not serve sin. Why? For he that is dead is free from sin. You understand? It's hard. It's really understandable why the world can't understand that, because they see us walking around. We're talking about being dead. Dead people you bury. They don't realize, though, we have died in Christ. They buried him. The nearest we'll come to that is be baptized. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We die to self, yes, but we'll be baptized in the likeness of his death. Now, if we be dead with Christ, verse 8, we believe that we shall also live with him. In other words, if a person goes through the waters of baptism not saved, the only thing they do, and you've heard many people say that, and I say again, they just get wet. But if a person is born into the family of God, it's like unto his death. We go under the water, completely covered, just like Christ was put in the tomb. And then we come out of the water in the likeness of his resurrection into the newness of life. And that's demonstration of what God has done for us spiritually as the world looks on. He said again, knowing that Christ been raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. And same with you and I. We may die physically, but that's no ways like the eternal death. We have an exemption because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have an exemption of the eternal death. This old body may go back to the dust, and it's going. It will one day, not may, it will go back to the dust. But when we draw our last breath, we will be present with the Lord. Eternal death cannot touch us when the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied. And that comes when you and I trust Christ as Savior. God help me. God help me give him everything I've got. My talent, my everything I've got, let me give it to him. Because nothing I can do can pay him back for what he's done for me. By the way, that ought to be every last one of our thought and condition in life. God, use me. Don't let nothing hinder me. Use me for your glory. Whatever it is, use me for your glory. And he goes on, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise. Once he got through this instruction, he said, likewise now. He's talking about the death and burial of Christ. He's talking about how we are crucified with him, how we've been buried. If we trust him as Savior with him, we died with him on Calvary, where we should have been there and could not pay for our sin debt. He did it for us. And to you and I, the old man, God looks at has been nailed to the cross in Jesus Christ. Likewise, now reckon ye yourself also yourself to be dead unto sin. Count it so. That is, you don't have to practice it. Well, we know for a fact that we're not out of the presence of sin. You see it every day. Man, you just think what goes through your mind. The things that capture my mind. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way in the world you can keep things from going through your mind. But you don't have to let them lodge there. And somebody said, well, I just keep a pure mind all the time. I beg your pardon. You can't live in this world and keep a pure mind all the time. You're going to have to be sure to say, Lord, there's some things that I'm facing in my mind. I've got to learn to check that thing so it don't go no further than where it just enter my mind. Time it gets in the gate of my mind, let me check it, because I have the power to cause that not to take place and control me now. Before, I didn't really care. I mean, most of the time, Satan's going to come and do that which pleases the flesh anyhow. And we feel like, as long as the flesh, especially when you're young, as long as you get the flesh pleased, that's all that really matters. But God says there's more to it than that. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he said in verse 12, let not sin therefore ring in your mortal bodies that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. That means it doesn't dominate us. It doesn't say that we're sinless, but we can be blameless. We can come to God and confess those things, and that's what the communion is about. Notice verse 13, he tells us how to do it. Neither yield yourself members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive unto the dead, from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You are a slave to who you obey. And now God is saying, if you've trusted Christ and been born into the family of God, I've given you the Holy Spirit of God. I've given you my word. And you are a slave now to that which you obey. And you know how to obey God now, not just the flesh or Satan. You have a new creation in Christ Jesus in you. And you can learn what to do. In verse 14, he goes, further, for sin shall have not dominion over you. It will not rule and reign you. You may do some things sometimes that you have to say, I'm sorry about, but it won't ruin ring you. For you are not under the law, you're under grace. What then? There it comes again. Wait a minute. You mean tell me I'm not under the law? Then therefore I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. That's right. You mean no matter what happens in this life, it can't condemn me no more? That's what he said. And when he gets through saying that, what then shall he said, for sin doesn't have dominion over you, you're not under the law, you're under grace. Then he says again, he anticipates, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Shall we take the attitude that we ought to just enjoy sin now if we're under, not under the law but under grace? And he says, know ye not that to whom you yourself to obey his servant is ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or in obedience unto righteousness. And then he says, thank God that ye were the servants of sin. But now since God has come in and brought the new creation, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. And that's exactly where we're at. But then that still comes a choice. Now, what God says, what Satan says, what God says and the law says, and what the world says as far as life is concerned, looking at God through eyes of flesh rather than through the Word of God, many times they say we do such and such a thing, but we still believe in God. And he says, no, you're going to obey one or the other. We have the capacity to obey God. There's not one thing that I face in this world that I can't go to this book, I believe, and find the answer of what I should do to obey God. He's not left me ignorant. I may be ignorant, but it isn't because God left me that way. He's left everything. Hey, you may not know what 2 + 2 is, but it's your ignorance because there's books and people and knowledge that can let us know what 2 + 2 is. Amen? Yeah. We may not be able to add 10 + 10, but that's our ignorance. Because we live in an age today that can be taught to us. And when it comes to the things of God, spiritual ignorance is not an excuse because God not only will save us under the sound of the gospel, if we'll believe the record that God gave of his son, and that then he will also tell us what we ought to do. So tonight, we obey our Lord in this thing of being baptized. We preach the gospel. God has kept his word. He draws people to the Lamb of God. And then from there, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we teach them to observe the things that God told the apostles and others to teach found in this book. So tonight we thank those who will be baptized. We're sorry, but I think we had some bus kids not baptized. I understand there's two other young men that got saved in the home. It's not here. They will not be baptized tonight. Maybe another time they can be. We tried our best to get in touch with Brother and Sister Stevens. They wanted to have their child baptized who had moved down to Federal. We've called 2 or 3 times and left messages. We also sent a letter. Never heard from them. I understand that they're not here tonight. But we don't know what happened there, but they wanted their child to be baptized. He was saved the Sunday before they actually left, moved down towards Federal from our era. But I think we have 4 or 5 that are to be baptized tonight. And we have the young ladies to go this side with the deacon's wives. We have the young men go this side and go up the stairs to the baptistry. And Brother Ken, if you'll come at this time, then we will get started and get into place and have the baptism. And rejoice in the fact for these are not only trusted Christ, but Father and Lord in baptism. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this book. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we do tonight, we do because you have given us instructions to do it. And our Father, we schedule this for ever so many weeks when we have people to be baptized in our day. It would be good if we baptize every service, but we don't have people save every service, Lord. So we do our best to try to do it within a period of some weeks when we have people to be baptized who are saved. We're thanking for many folks who are saved, especially, dear Lord, for those we say before that are kids on the buses. Their parents don't understand. They come and they trust the Lord. They rejoice. They're happy. They go home telling mother and dad about it. And then mother and dad begin to question them about what it is to be saved. They think they have the answer. A parent don't understand what a child's saying if they've never been born again. And so they look at it as trying to get a statistic from their child, and they won't let them be bad. They have a right. But we say again, Lord, we think if we understand this book, a parent may keep their child from being baptized, but they can't keep them out of heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless the night. Make this memorable to those who are baptized. Start the first step right in their Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.